So thank you. People always ask me to record something, and then, by definition, I start to talk and I totally forget. It doesn't, the brain somehow, I don't know. It, you know, for many of you have had the opportunity to learn with over the years, except for you, is to Brett as well. And I think the one thing which is true about every single limud, whether it's the Jacobs we've learned together before, or learning Pachim Yisrael together, or our beloved Shabbos morning Navi Shir that we had for so many years together, or any other venue of learning, if learning doesn't have, at least again, this is why I spoke a little before at Purim also, a certain depth, a certain resonance, something that sort of speaks to you in a real type of way, and every person is different, sort of, you know, my tchudas hanefesh, sort of the nature of my soul is different than yours. What might draw you into learning is sort of different what draws me into learning. But for each person to sort of find almost like the shoresh, the root of one soul, and then to find learning that teaches that. And if learning is not that, then there's a certain chilal to that. There's a certain almost profaneness. If learning becomes something which is just superficial and not meaningful, and you know, a person who's a scientist, like Dr. Book or others, where you find fascination in all sorts of deep areas of science and philosophy, but in learning, if you don't find that, there's a filo. Like learning has to have a depth and a resonance to it. Thanks, Aaron. I want to welcome back Aaron from, well, Shalvim, and then there you saw this last year. It's great to have you. So much nachas in you. Okay, so I just want to share seven different ideas. I saw for the first time actually this year, or I think it's for the first time this year, a beautiful idea in the Maharal. The Maharal has many, many svarim. The Maharal was like the godfather of almost deep thought and a certain type of Jewish machshava that continues to impact Klal Yisrael 500 years later. And the Maharal, this is his famous sefer, Yiras Hashem. Hey, Sammy also, welcome back from Eish Gesher. Phil, welcome back from Wood Lane. It's good to have you here, Phil. So the Maharal says so beautifully, and this is a quick idea, but he expands on this. The Maharal never says anything quickly, or briefly, or succinctly. But the Maharal discusses the very idea of having Lechem Oni. Or why have Lechem Oni? What's the idea of that? Is that to sort of remember the fact that we were slaves? And he sort of rejects that idea. Hey, what's his idea of having this very simple, Spartan, plain bread? Why do we need that? And why, in fact, does the Gemara refer to Lechem Oni? And this is such, I think, to me, such a beautiful idea. So why does Gemara refer to Lechem Oni, this simple bread, as the bread of Geula? Now, on a simple level, the Lechem Oni is the Lechem Geula because that's the bread that we ate as we were leaving this Rayim. It represented, it was a siman for the future Geula. Another reason, maybe it's Lechem Geula, it's Lechem She'onil Advarim Harbe. This is the bread that we talk about, the Geula over it. That's maybe another reason. But the Maharal said, and people want to... it's like a back row in the biggest matters over here. So, hey, Shalom, how are you? Shalom, it's your lucky day, Shalom. So, okay. I mean, you have to chime in. If I get lost, you have to chime in. So the Maharal said so beautifully the following idea. He said that if you think about what Anius is, or you think about Lechem Oni, what that means is that it's something in its most simple forms. It's not dependent on anything else. It's not made more complicated by anything else. It's not complex. Like, anius in its simple form is completely undiluted by anything else in the world. Now, nobody here wants to be an ani, right? Nobody wants to be a poor person. We know that the Gemara says that an ani is kames. But what anius does have, perhaps more than anything else, anius has pure simplicity and a lack of complication. And what Lechem Oni is something which is undiluted. It's water, it's bread, and that's it. And that pashtus, says the Maharal, that simplicity is in fact Geula, is in fact the simin of redemption, is a simin of almost the happiness that comes with redemption. That the Rambam has a language that if, let's say, if a person uses lechem ashira, lechem ashira, of course, is matzah, you know, it's water and bread with apple juice and this and that. So now you thought maybe you've made it better. The Rambam doesn't use the language of lo yotzei chavaso, that you're not going to yotzei your mitzvah. He says it's usur to use that. Why is it usur to use that? So the way that the Brisker Rav explains, this at least what we assume the way he explains, based on this Maharal, is that to go ahead and take the simplicity of that lechem oni and to complicate it and dilute it and to bring other factors into it, he says that that's usur. Lechem oni is the clear sense of redemption that comes through simplicity.
Also sound like you can't eat it at all, not even for you, Mrs. Master.
Exactly, right, no, for sure, absolutely. Okay, and that's such an important concept. You know, thank God we're all living lives, I think for the most part, of comfort. I'm going away actually this year for the first time. We're going to a Pesach program outside of Atlanta. Bless their soul, supposedly a great program, and it's a great this, and it's great. Everything is great, and I'm not complaining about a chas v'shalom. I would never say a negative word about the program, about the menu, about the activities, about the shiurim, about the people giving shiurim, especially my wife, right? But it's like we're going through today the program, and it's like, okay, here we're going to have an entire cooking class on how to make kosher Pesach sushi, and over here we're having this tournament over this, and then there's going to be this program of that. And all that is great, but it's representative of a certain like culture, which I'm definitely a part of, perhaps we're all a part of, that has lost an element of simplicity. The lechem oni, it's lechem of geula. It's geula because redemption in its most beautiful form is very, very simple. And all of us, in certain ways, are complicated people. We're complex people. We have to think about things deeply. And sometimes that complexity removes that simplicity. And sometimes, again, the highest level of living is to exist at a very, sort of just like in a very plain place, in a very simple place. Okay, that's one idea I wanted to share. How are you? Thank you. Okay, another idea I wanted to share, and I'll try to keep it brief, is this minhag that we have where if there's something you have to know about the Blass family, there's a fight every single year, probably more than one. But there's one thing you have to say there that is always a fight every year with Tani Blass leading the charge. Anybody want to guess what that is? Yeah, what we're doing wrong, and he's claiming absolutely rightly so and appropriately so that we are violating the Shulchan Aruch with great passion and great certainty, and he's absolutely right. But probably people are probably still not going to change. Anybody know what that is? What's that? Eating challah. Yeah, no, you're right. We won't give it up. We will not give up challah. You had a lot of challah before.
Quantity of matzah.
Okay, so that, by the way, is probably an issue in a lot of homes. Sammy, we'll talk strategy later about how to be mekayim the chazan ish shir of achilas kazayis, based on a very famous idea of the Noda B'Yehuda. They have to actually double the amount of kazayis nowadays. So there's a lot of people. So to be mekayim like a mitzvah daraisa, you actually have to eat two kazayim. Two kazayim, we assume, I don't know how this works out. Don't keep all your olives hidden when you do the science experiment. But two kazayim is roughly about seven whole shmur matzahs. And then the yeshiva bakar is sitting there, and there's it's about 2/3 of shmur matzah, and the parents are looking at the kids like, who's this crazy person who's sitting here, passed out, falling over, eating, this can't be actually two kazayim. You're looking at an olive, and you're looking at this matzah. Okay, that's an age-old debate, as long as the Noda Yehuda was alive for since his time. Parents and children perhaps are arguing about this Noda Yehuda. It's actually something different that I was referring to, and that is the fact that the Mechaber Paskins, and I imagine most people here do not do this, you can sheepishly raise your hand if you violate this Mechaber, that when you take the maror and then you dip in charoses, You're actually not supposed to have pirosis on the maror. You're supposed to dip it in and then shake it off. And then perhaps as well, when you have korach as well, because if you say the korach is there for the purpose that it's like a bechilas maror in some way, so you should do the same thing also. You put the pirosis in, you dip it in, and then you shake it off.
You need a plane.
And then you eat just the maror plane.
Right.
Now, who here is bold enough to say that they do not shake out the charosis afterwards, but they eat the mar with the charosis? Eddie, there you go. Okay, because that's what you look forward to all year. You've been sitting here all year, you've been sitting through the Seder, you're eating 15 pieces of lettuce, you're making it, and then you have the charosis in front of you, so there's very little chance that the mortals among us, again, Tani Blas is obviously in a different category, is going to not shake off the charosis afterwards. Now, just a little bit of like a mention, now that we're talking about that, of what is the idea of the charosis. So there's a machlokas tanayim in the Gemara of whether or not, in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, whether or not charosis is actually a mitzvah or whether charosis is a minhag. Okay? Anybody know who says that it's a mitzvah? So it's actually a sheet of Rav Tzadok in the Gemara. The Rambam paskins like that sheet of Rav Tzadok. And he says that there's an actual mitzvah of eating charosis. And then there's two deos in the Gemara. Why would it be a mitzvah? Either because it represents the Benos Yisrael sitting underneath the tapuach, sort of the apple tree. It has to do with the idea of getting divorced and then getting remarried. Or it has to do with it's a mitzvah to represent the bricks and the mortar. And based on that, you're supposed to make the charosis in a certain way. It's supposed to be thick. It's not supposed to be runny. And the Rambam passes like the Shita. Therefore, the Rambam says actually that you say the bracha al achilas charosis.
And
what's that? That's a good point. You know that from the Kumar Gittin, right? And then the Rambam actually says also, the Rambam is very in the charosis. Not only is it a mitzvah, but he says you actually have to dip the matzah into the charosis as well. That's what the Rambam passes like. The sheet of the Chachamim is that's only a minhag. Why is it a minhag? Because they say Mishum Kappa. Mishum Kappa is what? What's Kappa? So nobody knows. Nobody says. The Gemara just says that line that that's only a minhag the charosis because of Kappa, right? Now, as far as issues, Maish, I'm not sure if you've ever railed at me about this, but it's the type of issue that you might rail about, and that's the following. So according to some Rishonim, Kappa is that the Mara was actually poisonous, and because it's poisonous, so you need the Charoses to negate the poison of the Mara. It still seems like a big risk, right? Even if you say that it's negated that, we're going to start showing him that there might be bugs. There might be bugs that you can't see. You don't want to be eating bugs, right? This goes back to the old issue about romaine lettuce. So something we showed him actually say that even well, like 1,000 years ago, maybe 2,000 years ago, they knew already about the fact there might be bugs in the romaine lettuce, and therefore kappa was the bugs. If you dip it into kairoses, so it will kill off the bugs. But that's only a minna. That's not a chiyuv. What's that?
Eating dead bugs doesn't.
That's a good point. I'm not sure according to that sheet, so why would I make it any
it
better?
What? That's why you shake it off, probably.
Maybe that's why you shake it off, okay? But whether or not you say that charoses is a mitzvah, or whether you say that it's only a minhag, either way, you don't want to keep the charoses on there, right? Whether you say it's a mitzvah to have charoses, or it's a minhag to have charoses, you don't want to have the charoses on the maror, because that's going to dilute the tamarirs. That's going to dilute the taste of the bitterness. Therefore, we say dip it in. Either it's a mitzvah or it's only just a minhag because of the bugs or because of the poison. But then shake it off because you want to be able to have the full experience of the merirus. You don't want to go ahead and you don't want to be eating merirus together with the charoses. Okay. And by the way, there's a lot of discussion about what type of maror to use. And discussion in the Vilna Gaon and others, and have discussion in the Mishnah and the Gemara, etc. But some people got very carried away, and they ate this like ground like the type we have. I don't know what your experience has been. Maybe some of the more Haimashiyids among us. I find I always grate the maror, hoping that's going to give you a real kick, and then by 5 hours later already, it's like nothing. And then it's like disappointing. You want to be able to call in, you know, the local Hatzalah, and meanwhile, it's like a nothing. But if you read through the Vilna Gaon and the Mishabura, they're talking about people endangering their lives. I don't know what people are eating exactly. I'm not saying I'm looking for that per se, but you want to have like a little more than perhaps. Okay, so that's like the pashtus of charosis. Pashtus of charosis is that you want to remove the charosis so that you have the merirus. Now, I came across a shlaw that actually is brought down to in the Mishnah Berurah. Tell me if you've seen the shlaw before. It's in Siman Shin Ayin Zayin in the Mishnah Berurah. And he says the following. He says, so, cause of shlaw, Re'isi b'nei Aliyah, so he found among people that were sort of the growth-oriented b'nei Aliyah, Shayu Menashkin Hamatzos v'hamaror. Another thing that if your kids do, you might look at them askance. They use the kiss, the matzah. They use the kiss, the maror. V'chein hasukah b'knisaso, u'b'siyaso. V'chein arba minim shebelulav. They'd also give a kiss to the arba minim. V'hakol chiba mitzvah. All this is as a way of showing love of the mitzvahs. Okay? Now, what doesn't make sense? You give a kiss to the matzah, okay, fine. To the lulav, to the sukkah, to other things. But why would it be a person be kissing the maror? Right? The maror, which represents slavery, which represents merirus. We don't point at the maror dish, you know, when we're at the table. Why are we, like, kissing the maror in a way? So it's a beautiful pshat in the Haggadah of Avram Shor, Lechach V'Halavuv. He says that normally there are perhaps times in our life where we can't appreciate the painful moments of our life. Right? Anybody ever go through this before? I'm sure everybody here. Something happens, a person loses a job, a person loses this, a person's had an illness, a person, and then in the moment where that happens, there's no real appreciation, you know, like what the Gemara says in Brachos, right? And remember what the Gemara says, what the Lashon is in Brachos? Chaviv alecha yisurin. Is this like, are the yisurin chaviv to you? And what's often the response of the Marayim? They say, lo heim v'lo scharo. I don't want the yisurin. The fact that I lost my job and I'm on welfare and do this, it's not nice to me. Lo heim v'lo scharon. I don't want the yisurin. I don't want the schar for them, etc. That's often the response to yisurin, right? So Rav Mishur says so beautifully is that maybe on Pesach night, when we can see the entire swath of Jewish history play out, when we can see riding high and then going up Mitzrayim and being in Shibud for a couple hundred years, and then the mirrors of that, but then being able to sort of come out and then come to Eretz Yisrael and rebuild Eretz Yisrael or build Eretz Yisrael and build the base of Mikdash, then once maybe we can see the whole picture, we can go to the maror, we can almost kiss the maror, we can say, you know what, in like the light of day, I can really appreciate the tsar that I went through. That's like the chaviva almost of Yisurin.
It's part of that journey.
It's part of that journey, right? And maybe it's only certain times of life where we have the capacity to do that. Other times when we're almost like stuck in it, maybe it's too painful. It's too painful to really appreciate Yisurin. But when it comes, let's say, to Pesach, and it's part of that journey, then we can say, you know what, we appreciate that merirus. I don't know if a person can ever say this, you know, you're much closer to it than I can. But could you ever almost get to a point where we say that, not that we ever, chas v'shalom, appreciate the Holocaust. You can never even say such words. But could you say ever something about the fact that we can understand sort of like the journey of Klal Yisrael, not with a sense of appreciation, chas v'shalom, but just almost like seeing a whole picture and coming into...
Just too much.
It might be too much. But there are moments in our life where perhaps we're able to say, you know, chaviv alai yisurin.
You lose a job, sometimes you see the end.
Or something. And the things we go through with our children, and things we go through in our life, and the things we go through. And maybe sometimes it is too much, in economy. Now, maybe that's part of the pshat. I know this sounds like, again, it's cutesy, but maybe it's not, of why we shake off the charoses. We need the charoses there because either for the kappa, for the poison, or we need the charoses there because it's a mitzvah. But then we say, you know what? We're more than capable of just experiencing maror. And just appreciating that. And just seeing that. We don't have to dilute it. We don't have to sugarcoat it. We don't have to say, we can say, you know what? We can appreciate what sometimes Yisurin and Merius is in our life without having to say, well, this and this is. No, no, no. It's difficult. And I can appreciate that. And perhaps it's part of a longer journey. And I can accept that. I can see that. I don't have to complicate it. I can just look it in the eye and say, this has been painful. And I can also find my capacity to appreciate those painful moments as well without sort of the dilution from anything else. Okay, I'm not going to have time to go through everything I want to go through, but I want to mention, I saw a beautiful Vilna Gaon, I think for the first time this year again. How long time is it?
8:20.
Okay, this is another 20 minutes or so. I saw a beautiful Vilna Gaon, and before we get to the Vilna Gaon, let me say two other quick shots. The Indian of Dalakosos is one of those things where, you know, if you're anybody, you've written like a parish on the idea of Dalakosos. It's one of the most spoken about, written about mitzvos. As we know, Dalakosos is only, thank you, I wouldn't say it's only, but it's a mitzvah d'Rabbanan. It's obviously discussed in the Mishnah and the Gemara. And it would be an interesting trivia question, if you're so inclined to ask these type of questions. How many mitzvos d'Oraisa do we have on the evening of Pesach? How many mitzvos d'Rabbanan? But if asked such a question, so then Dalakosos is only a mitzvah d'Rabbanan. Why do we have Dalakosos? Why are they there? Keneged, what are they there? Why do we dafka have wine? All these things have been the topic of discussions for 2,000 years. If you open up a certain Haggadahs, you'll see 100 pages on Dalakosos. I want to share with you three, just what to me were meaningful ideas about Dalakosos, and then we'll wrap that up with the Vilna Gaon, and then we'll do the Rav Kook, and that'll be it. So one nice idea that I saw a couple years ago is, what's the necessity of having Dalakosos? Why do we need wine at all? What is the very nature of Dalakosos altogether? So Rav Tzadok HaKohen mentions in the Pri Tzadik is the basic idea that why do we have wine at Havdalah, right? We have wine at Havdalah because Havdalah fundamentally is a moment of celebration. What's a moment of celebration? What are we celebrating at Havdalah? And this is such a critical idea. What's the nature of celebration? This is from Tzadok, like the deepest of the deep. So he said, what do we celebrate? Why is Havdalah almost fundamentally an action of Simcha? You wouldn't think it's an action of Simcha, because obviously Shabbos is going out, right? We're losing the Neshama Yisera. But yet the wine that's there, anytime you have like wine at something, typically it's because there's some type of joyful event that we're commemorating. Think about it in your mind, every time we have wine at something, usually it's there in some form of Simcha. So what's the joyfulness that we have at Havdalah?
Maybe because we said all the brothers of Yitzchak right before Havdalah, so we celebrated.
Are you still making your push for Yitzchak after all this?
You opened it up.
You opened the door wide open.
I second it. I absolutely second it.
This has been your crusade for as long as I've known you. And that's what you think. Okay.
Sign me up on the
table. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, so in Havdalah, we always sing Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyahu Tishbi.
Right.
So it's an allusion.
Maybe that's already. That's
it's an allusion
idea.
To the coming of
right.
Mashiach. Huh?
So he says something which I think is even, I mean, that's a beautiful idea, but he says the very fundamental idea of being able to be mavdil, of being able to separate, ben kodesh l'chol, of being able to say there are moments of sanctity and moments of non-sanctity, and to have the consciousness of that, right? Like, think about what we've been bequeathed with as a people, as far as the capacity of to be mavdil, that we can say there are places that are holy and places that are not holy. I walk into a shul, okay, that's a place, that's a makom migdash. I walk into a beis hamigdash. I meet certain people. There's certain people that, whether they're Kohen or someone else, the very capacity of being mavdil in this world itself is a source of simcha. Because that, the idea of being mavdil, what's the Gemara say, brachos, both in Davin and Yerushalmi, why do we have Havdalah in a tachone, in a chon, in hadas, right? Because the very idea of being mavdil shows a higher level of consciousness, right? If you're just, you're an animal, or you're just a bulvar, you're just a guy, like, there's nothing. There's no such thing called, like, sacred and profane. It's not there. The very fact that we have the capacity of being mavdil in kodesh shachol, and that's why we have the bracha of Havdalah, chon, in hadas, like, that itself is a great source of simcha. And what a beautiful legacy that is for Klal Yisrael. So Rav Tzadok says so beautifully that basically every single one of the Dalakosos reflects a different Havdalah. The first, of course, is Kiddush. That's Havdalah ben Kodesh HaKol. What's the second Havdalah? Amad ben Kodesh HaKol ben Or L'Choshech. Right? Ben Or L'Choshech is between the Choshech of Galus, the Choshech of Shibud, and the Or of Redemption. So that second Bracha of Rabbi Pirah Geffen, that's on the Haggadah, that's been Orla Koshech. Ben Yisrael Amin. When do we have the third Kos? After the meal. Why do we have after the meal? And because Dafka to say that the meal that we have can be right in between halal. The meal of the way that a Jew eats, Ben Yisrael Lamim, is I don't sit there. I mentioned this recently. Was anybody there? Maybe Josh was there. Were you around during Purim at Alex's house? Wait, can I just embarrass nobody later or no? Okay, no. Anyway, so I mentioned that I went to this kosher food and wine expo down at Chelsea Piers. Anybody ever been there before? It's quite a chavaya. I'm not sure I want to go back. It was an incredible experience.
Did you walk out?
I still have recovered. I did not walk out. They had to roll me out. And I, at some point during this, I felt like, I don't know, would Rabbi Neuberger be here? Would Shlomo Zalman Orach be sitting here just, standing and grabbing food? And by the time you finish, no one's saying brachos, no one's this. Forget about washing a benchu with a mezumin. It was just you eat as much as you can eat. And it was beautiful, and it was kosher, and all those things. It didn't feel to me like an eating that would constitute Ben Yisrael Lamin. That eating was sanctity, like the way that the Ramban says. What's the Ramban's famous line that I'm referring to? Nava Brishos HaTorah. Everything was kosher, but you can almost like profane yourself in eating as well. So the third kos is the kos of Ben Yisrael Lamin. That we know how to eat in a way that fits right in between the two halals. That fits right in between those two. And then the fourth one is, of course, because the whole end of the Haggadah has to do with the Yemos HaMashiach and the separation between this world and the world to come. Therefore, if each one of the Dalet Kosos is about separating, it's about separation, it's realizing that we're in this world and we're part of this world, but we're also slightly removed. Slightly removed from just maybe the behaviors, the ethics, the netia towards gashmius in a way, then that's a source of simcha. That is genuine joy, in which case every time we mark that with the bracha, so you have a kos yayin as well along with that. There's many ideas as well by Dal Kosos, but I want to mention that I saw this idea in the Vilna Gaon, which is so beautiful. The Vilna Gaon does not take the template of the Yushambi. The Yushambi says that we have the four cups of wine because of the Hutsesim Hitzalti Vigaalti Lakakti. But the Vilna Gaon says, because the Bavli never mentions that, rather the Vilna Gaon says that the Dal Kosos must be connected to something else. And he said so beautifully, this is such a nice idea to tell over at your Seder. I'm happy to send anybody your voice note if you want to sort of hear it again. The Vilna Gaon said that those Dalet Kosos are connected the four people, Shatsrikim Lahodos, the four people that have to give gratitude that the Mishnah speaks about in Brachos. Who are those four people? So the first person are people that are Yorde Biyam, people go into the water. Mm-hmm. Second people are the Hoche Midbaros. So let's say, why do people bench Gobo nowadays, which is sort of very controversial, because they're Yorde Biyam. They're traveling over the water, and therefore perhaps you should bench Gobo for that. Whether they're Hoche Midbaros, people that were traveling in the Midbar, on the desert, whether people who were Cholim V'Nisrapu, they were sick and they became healed, or they're Matrim V'Sasurim. Those are the four people that have to give a Karban Todah, and those are the four people after whom we parallel benching Gomel. So the Vilna Gaon says that each one of the Dalet Kosos, exactly where they are connected those four people. We have Dalet Kosos because B'nai Yisrael B'Prat, and we, B'Klal, and we, B'Prat, experience all four of those. We experience Yorid B'Yam, of course, Holchim, Midbaros. We were ill with slavery, we became healed. We were people who were Matar Beis Asurim, and therefore the Dalet Kosos are connected, the four people, and each one of us, who are Tzarek Lahodos, and that's obviously such a big theme of the day. You know,
what's his riot to that? Nobody says that.
Doesn't need a riot. Listen, you give like a pshat right, as far as Dalet Kosos, you don't always necessarily need a riot, but it's a good question. But it's a great opportunity. You know, sometimes we just like rush into the Seder. You know, each one of us have done the Seder, you know, dozens of times already. But if we sort of think about it in a very personal way, almost like looking around the Seder, who's there and who has grown, and the nachas that we have, and what we've experienced the past year, like, it's not just our pick up called kos yayin. It's like a kos yayin with a real sort of element of hoda'ah to it. Okay, just in the last few minutes that we have, I just want to read through for those who have a copy in front of you. If you don't have a copy, I have two extra over here. I know people are tired and it's late and it's hot, but just want to do a little bit of the Lashon Hazav shell of the of Rav Kook. And this is a Rav Kook's Haggadah. Like most things, Rav Kook actually did not write this. His son wrote it, or other people wrote it. But I'm just going to draw your attention. Again, this is such a simple idea, but just a few lines of Rav Kook. And it's such a classic idea. Okay, so it says, Kol Dichtvin Yesev Yechol. Everyone have it?
Yeah.
Right. So Hakava Yisodi, the fundamental... It's not a great way of translating Rav Kook, but the fundamental idea, Hamavdil ben Yisrael la'amim, that separates Jews from the nations of the world, who or Chesed, is the light of generosity. Shezehu oro harishon sho'avram avinu alav shalom. This was sort of the first light brought into the world by Avram Avinu. But before we continue, I just want to mention that I got an email from Rabbi Levitin this week. Rabbi Levitin, of course, is a rav around the corner, a number of very, very generous people in his shul. He sent out an email to all the rabbanim, I don't know if in Muncie, but certainly in Wesley Hills, Pomona, New Hempstead, you know, Havistraw, New City, etc., that somebody in his shul anonymously said that if there's any family in the area that needs help making Pesach, he wants to donate $2,500 to any needy family to help make Pesach. Anonymously. I mean, like, that's what, obviously, Rav Kook is talking about. That this is sort of the Kav HaYisodi HaMadu Ben Yisrael Amim Hur HaChesed. Shezehu Oro HaRishon Sha'ab Ravino Lo V'Shalom. Shemimenu mofiim, that from this or hachesed karne ora rabim luparteim, that the karne or sort of spread forwards from this like mid of Klai Yisrael luparteim. There's like this or which emanates from Klai Yisrael that just then manifests itself into specifics. Hahochim umitpazrim alpenei kol mercha v'chayim, that this or hachesed goes and it's mitpazer. What's mitpazer? Like it spreads out to every sort of merchav chayim, like every square inch, so to speak, of communal life, of national life. L'samna b'tzivyon miyuchad, that paints communal life with a very unique flavor, a very unique color to it. Hatzivyon b'tzignon ha'ivre miyuchad, that light then transforms with a certain sivyon v'signon, with a certain category, a certain flavor, what it means to be a Jew. Hamofia me'ur toras chayim v'yahava. This light of chesed is mofia. It spreads me'ur from the light of toras chayim v'yahava, chesed, gavs chesed, from the living Torah and love of chesed. That light of Avraham Avinu, the light of chesed, that's the Kava Yisodi, it spreads out in a genuine, when you're living in a genuine Jewish community. Olam Halilius, the world of what's Halilius? Of like idolatry, the Hakfira, and obviously a refutation of belief. Edom Yodin, Ki Elas Atzmam. The very fundamental nature of living in a non-faith community is that community sort of is focused on the self. Es Hana'asam, Hagasa, they're sort of very materialistic, they're very physical needs. Hachumrit, they're very physical. Bafil Hana'ot, Haruchaniot, even let's say the pleasures that are more spiritual, Hainan Rak Mishar Simulhem. It's almost like sort of, almost in a way like secondary. It's not, again, this is sort of Cook's feeling, it's not fundamental to the community. It's almost that it's not sort of the core, like, or chesed is fundamental to Jewish community. He felt that's not true when it comes to idolatrous or other types of communities. Umashu shafal yoser, umachur yoser, that which perhaps often is more degrading or more mechuar, more degrading, right, more disgusting. V'yoser mislached, b'miskar hatzar shal atmos apratit, and it's more like immersed. What's mislached? What's that? Yeah. I wrote actually on the side of the paper. I have to look it up again. Anybody have it there?
Coalesce,
exactly. V'yoser mislached, b'miskar hatzar shal atmos apratit, and there's like things are sort of... Things are degraded in a way into sort of the personal seeking. Huyosa yisodi etzlam. Anything which is more into personal seeking is more yisodi in a world of idolatry, in a world that doesn't have an Or Elokut. Masha'inkin Chelek Yaakov, and that's not true when it comes to Chelek Yaakov. Chelek Yaakov is that like the more fundamental it is to Yadus, the more it aspires to generosity, to light, to elevation, etc. Okay, so Amas Hatov Nevea Etzleinu, love of good, Nevea Etzleinu, comes to us, Lo Mishum Inyan Stadi, it's not just happenstance, it's not just superficial, but this Ahavat Hatov, Ahavat Chesed, El Li Etzem Teva Havayat Nishmaseinu, Hu Lachashok B'Tov Eloki. But the very, and this is over Rav Kook, El Li Etzem Teva, the fundamental nature of Havayat Nishmaseinu, of the existence of our souls, Hu Lachashok, is to yearn B'Tov Eloki. And the goodness of God, Hatov HaKol, and the goodness of God is a light that's good to everyone, and it flows to everyone. Okay, now this is the key line, and of course when I was underlining it, my pen ran over, if you have the piece in front of you. So Al Kain, and therefore if that's the case, what is it, why do we have a Lachmanya here? Lachmanya Kol Yitzchak Yesev Yivsach, this is the very first thing that we have in Magid. Why is it the very first thing that we have in Magid? So Al Kain, Hargosha HaPnimit, this internal feeling, Harishona, that first feeling, Tekef, immediately, kishayusar hakoach hamachriach, when once we have unshackled the external forces, shemoneya es hachofesh, that turns away our freedom, v'es haskul hatzmit, and the fundamental nature of Klai Yisrael, latzeis lor, that we can bring that to the light. Okay, so huachevet lahasir kol tzar v'kol matzor kol dichven yesev yechol. The moment that we are actually freed.
11. Hi, welcome. Oh, wow.
Pushlema.
It's nice to see you in person.
Okay. So, Josh, hold a second. We're with the punchline over here. The very moment that we are unshackled, okay, the very moment that we have sort of a freedom where the outside forces have been removed from us, and we want to make a fundamental statement of who we are now that we're no longer shackled. Imagine for a second, you take somebody that's come out of jail. He's been out of jail for 30 years. What's the first thing that he wants to do? Well, the first thing he wants to do probably says a lot about him, okay? Does he want to do X? Does he want to do Y? Does he want to go eat I couldn't blame him, but you know, a cheeseburger, a double cheeseburger? Does he want to go run somewhere else? Okay, you wouldn't blame the person. But how about the person that says, I've had no autonomy for 30 years, the first thing I want to do is, you know, go visit that minister in the hospital who helped me out in jail, right? I mean, the point of Halach Ma'anya is, Kol Difin Yesev Yechol, is that Rav Kook says that the Or HaYisodi, the fundamental nature of Chesed, is so strong that we're making a statement that the very moment where we've been released from shackledom, so to speak, the very moment we've been released from Avdus, is when the first thing we can do is say, we're inviting people over, we want you to be over. Such a fundamental statement. Right? And that's why it's the first thing in Magid, that fundamental nature of Olam HaChesed. So we'll do the last line again. So Al Korchach HaRgosha Pnimit HaRishona, the very first feeling, internal feeling, Tekef, immediately, Kishayusar HaKoach HaMachriach, when we've removed the Koach HaMachriach, the Koach that forces us, Shemoneas HaChofesh, that removes us, that stops us from freedom, and from man's individual greatness coming to the light, that very first thing we do, that is the desire, to remove, who needs help, who is hungry, who's that? That is the instinct, that is the very first thing that's released, that's unshackled, obviously after Chorban Habayis. Okay. Just to wrap up, there's so much more to say, but just to quickly review, we mentioned the Maharal. Maharal says so beautifully that lechem only oni is dafka the lechem of geula. Often, the highest level of existence, the most redemptive level of existence, is the most simple level of existence. I'm not dependent on something else. I'm not defined by something else. I'm not diluted by something else. I can sit simply, and in that state of simplicity, that is the highest state of geula. That's number one. The second thing we mentioned was the idea concerning Maror and Haroses, where he spoke about the Gemara, the Mishnah of the Gemara, that Haros is either there because of the Minog of Kappa or because of the Chiyuv, but either way, we dump out the Haros afterwards. We're supposed to. I have not. I'm going to try better this year. The reason brought down the Shulchan Aruch is because we want to have the Tamarirus, and just to maybe expand on the Tamarirus, is that if we have that Shlah, and the Shlah says is that there's old Minog to actually kiss the Maror, so what does it mean that we're the Tamarirus? Our capacity to say that we can experience Yisurin and not have to apologize or dilute them and say this or say it wasn't so bad. No, no, no. We have Yisurin, but we can put it in the proper context. We can appreciate those Yisurin, and that's why we dump up the Haros afterwards. We mentioned the idea from the Pritzadik, from Ritzadik HaKohen, that says that the reason that each one, the reason that we have wine and Havdalah is because Havdalah is actually joyous, and therefore the wine is there because it's a joyous event. And each one of the Dalakosos is another example of Hamadu Mekoshechol, Kiddush, Ben Or L'Choshech, between Golus and Gula, Ben Yisrael La'amim, the way that person eats at their Seder, and they eat with their Seder, with the food, actually being in between the Hallel, Ben Yisrael La'amim, Ben Yosheh Shesh Le'amaseh, that fourth coast is separating this world and the world to come. We mentioned the idea of the Gra who said that each one of the cups represents, is Keneged, one of the people who have to give Hodah. Give Hodah either because we went through the Midbar, we came up from the sea, we were released from jail, we became healed. Each one of the Alkos is Keneged that, and obviously what that does, as the Rambam says in Sefer Mitzvos, it makes entire evening the evening about Hodah. The last we mentioned Rav Kook. Rav Kook said that the very moment when Klai Yisrael had freedom to do anything, the very first thing Klai Yisrael it is, and that speaks, says Rav Kook, to the Kappa Yisodi, the fundamental nature of Klai Yisrael. And by the way, just to point out, that there are some poskim that say that because of that, you actually go outside your door. Everybody's standing at the corner of Deerwood and Charlotte who may need a meal. We're not living in societies anymore. Anybody needs a meal. You don't go to shul. Like, if you live in Yerushalayim, you go somewhere, somebody needs a meal in Yerushalayim. Nobody was in the hills needs a meal, ever needs a meal. But the old minhag was that we took this so seriously that when you say halakha ma'anya, you should go outside and ask somebody for a meal. But I think Rav Kook's point is, even if you don't do that, it's not so much whether you do that or don't do that. What you're doing is you're making a fundamental statement of what freedom means for Klai Yisrael. Freedom means the ability to express the Kappa Yisodi of Nishmasenu, which means first and foremost to live a life where we're able to spread the Or Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a genuine Jewish life. Spreading the Or HaElokus, which reflects itself in trying to bring that Or HaElokus and see the Or HaElokus as Rav Kook in every person, every situation, and that a Chesed, the life of Chesed, which is Noveya, from spreading and seeing the Or HaElokus in every place in the universe.
Rabbi Rudzinski said something very similar to
this. Rudzinski calls me before he
said Yachatz is because when they went out of Israel, not all of them had matzah.
Right.
So they provided the matzah and gave the person that was next to them and said, you didn't have a chance to take matzah, and I'm giving you the bigger half.
Right. He didn't vote me. Okay, for those people who have not had a chance yet, obviously everyone has a shul rav there. By all means, do Mechiras Chametz with whoever the excellent shul rav in your shul is. If you've not yet done it and you want to do Mechiras Chametz in my house, certainly feel free to do so as well.
I like
By the way, I gave you, on that Rav Kook, there's an underlying